ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః హరిహి ఓం. శ్రీమద్ భగవద్గీత చాప్టర్ 7 జ్ఞాన విజ్ఞాన యోగ. ఫ్రమ్ ది 7th చాప్టర్ ఆన్వర్డ్స్ ది వెరీ అప్రోచ్ ఆఫ్ భగవద్గీత ఈజ్ గోయింగ్ టు బి డిఫరెంట్. సో బిఫోర్ గోయింగ్ ఇన్ టు ది యాక్చువల్ 7th చాప్టర్ వీ విల్ ఫస్ట్ సీ హౌ ద గీత ఈజ్ బ్రాడ్లీ క్లాసిఫైడ్ ఇన్ టు 3 పార్ట్స్. The first 6 chapters forming the first part of Bhagavad Gita is known as the Prathama Shatkam. In Sanskrit, Shatka means a group of 6. And Prathama Shatka means the first group consisting of 6 chapters. We may even call it Prathamo Bhagaha. And the second section, the Dvitiya or Madhyama Shatkam, the middle section, consists of chapters 7 to 12. And the third part, the Tritiya Shatka or Charama Shatka, Charama means last. So, Prathama Shatkam, Madhyama Shatkam and Charama Shatkam, and the Charama Shatkam consists of chapters 13 to 18. And now we are entering from the 6th chapter to the 7th chapter. There not only there is a change of chapters, but also there is a change of bhagaha. From Prathama Bhaga, we are entering into the Dvitiya Bhaga. So we will first discuss the main topics or the predominant topics discussed in the 3 bhagas. In the first bhaga, that is the first 6 chapters, the predominant discussion is on the Jiva Swarupa. Ishvara was not discussed at all in any length. For example, if you see the second chapter, as I talked about Atma at that time, it was Dehi Deha Viveka. How the body goes through the various stages, Kaumaram, Yuvanam, Yuva, Jara, all that thing. And the Atma does not have any one of these modifications at all. Vasamsi Jirnani Yata Vihaya. We saw those slokas. The bodies are only changed, the Atma does not change at all. And Ishvara was not discussed in any length, almost in the second chapter. And when we go to the third chapter also, there we find the Panchakosha Viveka, how beyond the sense organs, the mind is, and beyond the mind, the intellect is, and so on. And there also only Jiva Swarupa. And we go to the fourth chapter, predominantly again, కర్మణి అకర్మయ పశ్యేత్ అకర్మణి చకర్మయ స బుద్ధిమాన్ మనుష్యేషు సయుక్త కృష్ణ కర్మకృత్. అండ్ అగైన్ ద 5th చాప్టర్ నవద్వారే పురే దేహి నైవ కుర్వన్ న కారయన్ ఆల్ దోస్ థింగ్స్ అగైన్ అడ్రస్డ్ జీవస్వరూప ఓన్లీ. అండ్ అఫ్ కోర్స్ ఇన్ ద 6th చాప్టర్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఎసెన్షియలీ ధ్యానం మెడిటేషన్ ఆత్మ సంస్థం మన కృత్వా న కించిత్ అపి చింతయేత్. So Jiva Swarupam alone is predominantly talked in the first 6 chapters. And Jiva Swarupa also again from both the angles. This Jiva Swarupa, when one looks upon it as separating the Jiva from the body. If you separate the body, the Jiva is what? Is Sachidananda Swarupaha, which we call it as Nirupadika Swarupam. That is Jiva without any upadis, Jiva without any equipments. That Jiva is without equipments, is Nityaha, Sarvagataha, Sthanuhu. Again, all those we have seen in the second chapter. But the very same Jiva, when it is associated with the body, then he becomes an individual. He becomes a Karta, he becomes a Bhokta, he is a son, his daughter, lot of duties, manager, so many things. So thus, along with the Upadis, so Upadika Jivaha is Karta, Bhokta, Punya Papavan, Samsari, all those things. Whereas the very same Jiva, without the Upadhi, without the equipment, is Akarta, Abhokta. So Jiva Swarupam was the predominant topic of the first 6 chapters. Whereas in the second Shatka, we will find Ishvara Swarupa is the predominant topic. We will find the moment the Ishvara Swarupa topic comes, Srishti also comes, creation. Because Ishvara is defined as Jagat Karanam. From him alone, the whole universe came about. He sustains it. He only resolves them all. He alone gives the karma palam to all people. Thus he is Sarvajnaha, he is Sarveshwaraha, Sarvashreshtaha, Sarva Karma Paladhata. All these glories of Ishwara will be developed. And by the time we come to the 10th chapter belonging to the Madhyama Shatka, that is the Vibhuti Yoga, everything will be described as Ishwara's glory only. And in the 11th chapter, it is Vishwarupa Darshanam, Ishwara being the cosmic, all-pervading Lord. And there also, Ishwara Swarupam, from both the angles, Ishwara with equipment, the body, the Sopadika Ishwara, he alone becomes Sarvajnaha, Sarva Srishtikarta, etc. But the same Ishwara, when you take off his Maya or equipment, the Ishwara alone is none other than the Chaitanya. Avyaktam Vyaktimapannam Manyante Mama Buddhayaha Param Bhavam Ajanantaham Mamavyayam Anuttamam. So there the Lord say again, the true nature of the Lord is changeless, formless. It is all pervading Chaitanyam alone. So Ishwara with Upadhi, that equipment, has got noble virtues. And Ishwara without Upadhi is Nirguna Chaitanyam. Ishwara with Upadhi has got all virtues. And Jiva without equipment is also Nirguna Chaitanyam. So Jiva with equipment has got lower qualities. And Jiva without equipment, he becomes again Nirguna Chaitanyam. And so what do we get out of this? Sopadika Jiva has lower qualities. And Sopadika Ishwara has got higher qualities. Whereas Nirupadika Jiva has no qualities and Nirupadika Ishwara also has no qualities. Therefore, Nirupadika Ishwara and Nirupadika Jiva are one and the same. The differences are only in the Sopadika Ishwara and Sopadika Jiva. But the identity is not pointed out. In the first section, Sopadika Jiva and Nirupadika Jiva were discussed. And in the second section, Sopadika Ishwara and Nirupadika Ishwara are discussed. And in the third section, third shatka, we get the Aikyam between Jiva and Ishwara. Again, from what standpoint? Sopadika, Nirupadika? From the Nirupadika standpoint alone, the identity is pointed out. The moment Lord takes his equipment, he becomes very powerful. When I take my equipment, it makes me feel weaker, in fact. I have Jara, I have Mrityu, I have Vyadi, and Lord becomes the killer, I become killed. Lord becomes creator, I become created. Lord becomes pervaded, I become pervaded. The moment we take the equipment, Lord and myself are totally different. He is omniscient, whereas I am alpiscient, as Swamiji says, Alpaha. He is Sarvashaktiman. I am Alpashaktiman. He is Sarvavyapi. I am Alpavyapi. Thus, the moment we take the equipment, we are diagonally opposite. And let both of us drop the equipment, then I can stand along with Ishwara. Why along with Ishwara? I am one with Ishwara. Therefore, I came from Nirupadika Drishti, from the true nature. So, Jiva, Ishwara and Aikyam, Jiva, Ishwara and Aikyam are taken up by the third section. Third Shatka. So which is the essence of the whole Vedantic teaching anyway. And this essence is taught in the Upanishads by a famous statement known as Tat Tvam Asi. It occurs actually in the Chandogya Upanishad. And in that Mahavakya, the word Tat refers to the Ishwara Swarupa. The word Tvam refers to the Jiva Swarupa. And the word Asi, that you are, that are, refers to the identity or Aikyam. And so, often in Vedanta, the Jiva is referred as Tvampada, the word you in Tattvamasi. And so we can say that Jiva Swarupam or Tvampada is discussed in the first six chapters. Ishwara Swarupa or the word Tat is discussed in the second Shatka. And the Aikyam or the Asipada is discussed in the Charama Shatka or the last Shatka. So the essence of Gita is what? Tattvamasi now. You are that. Jiva is identical to Ishwara. This is one flow of topic in the three Shatkas. And from another angle also, we can see three topics in the three Shatkas. In the first Shatka, at the sadhana level, we can find Karma Yoga is predominantly discussed. In the second shatka, actually in the second chapter we had seen Yogastha Kuru Karmani Sangam Tyaktva Dhananjaya Siddha Siddhyo Samo Bhutva Samatvam Yoga Uchyate. And again in the third chapter, we need not ask at all. The entire chapter is Karma Yoga. Niyatam Kuru Karmatvam Yajnyarthan Karmano Nitra. All these shlokas we already have seen. And in the fourth chapter, varieties of yajnas were discussed. Dravya Yajna, Tapo Yajna, all are Karma Yoga only, doing everything as an offering to the Lord. In the fifth chapter also, Brahmani, Brahmanadaya Karmani, Sangam Tyaktva Karotiyaha, Lipyate Nata Papena, Padma Patram Ivambasa. So there also, Karma Yoga is talked about. And again in the sixth chapter, beginning itself, that is Karma Yoga. Anashrita karma palam karyam karma karoti yaha sa sanyasi cha yogi cha niragnir cha na chakriyaha. Thus we find again Karma Yoga is emphasized in the first six chapters. That's the first part. Whereas in the second part, it is the second shatka, the upasana, meditation on Saguna Ishvara is pointed out. Machittaha madgata pranaha bodhayantaha parasparam. So, and again, Daivi Hesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Duratyaya Mame Vaye Prapadyante Maya Maya Metam Tarantite. So, again, and chapter 9, Manmana Bhava Madbhaktaha Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru Mame Vaishyasi Yuktvaivam Atmanam Matparayanaha. So, always emphasis was given on worship of the Lord. So, Upasana or Saguna Dhyanam. Remember, sixth chapter is actually Nirguna Dhyanam, that we have already pointed out earlier. Here it is Saguna Dhyanam, that is what is discussed. And the emphasis will be on Virat Dhyanam. So seeing the Lord, not in a small form, but as taking the whole creation as the, like for example, like a Shivalinga or a Salagrama. Thus, at the sadhana level, at the Upasana again. So some people call it Bhakti Yoga, but Upasana will be a better word or a clearer word perhaps. And the difference is, in the Karma Yoga, more physical activity is emphasized, more of kayikam type. Whereas in the Upasana, more important to the mind, manasam type. And then in the third shatka again, more importance is given to Jnana Marga or Jnana Yoga. So the very 13th chapter contains the essence of Jnanam. The 14th chapter also, and also the 15th chapter. So predominantly, Jnana Yoga is the predominant topic of the third shatka. That is at the sadhana level. These are all three divisions again. And then as far as the preparations or the disciplines are concerned again, there also we can find three distinct disciplines were emphasized. In the first shatka, Krishna emphasizes an individual effort. Use your free will. Use of purushartha. He says, you have to do karma. You have to purify. And I will only support you according to your choice. Yeyata mam prapadyante tam satayam bhajamyaham. I will not choose what is good or bad for you. It is your responsibility to choose. I will only be supporting you. You have to take the initiative. You have to purify yourself. Vitaraga bhayaha krodaha manmaya mam upashritaha. Bhagavo jnana tapasaha bhuta madbhavam agataha. So Krishna said, again, in the second person, actually, all are imperative moods. It is used all the time. And the height of it is what? In the sixth chapter where he said, Uddharete atmanatmanam natmanam avasadayete atmaivahi atmanabandhu atmaiva ripuratmanaha. You have to lift yourself from samsara because you alone are your friend and you alone are your enemy. Don't lean on anyone else, even on me. So that's what Krishna says. So he puts the whole responsibility on the jiva. Whereas we see the Madhyama Shatka, the emphasis is on grace, on Ishvara Anugraha. Mameveye prapadyante, mayam yetam tarantite, ananya chintayantomam, yejana pariyupasate, teshan nityabhyuktanam, yoga kshemam vahamyaham, teshan satada yuktanam, bhajatam, Pritipurvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yenamam Upayantite. So again, in all these shlokas, the seventh, also seventh, eighth, or ninth, tenth, or eleventh, any chapters, everywhere, surrender to me. I will help you out. That's what the Lord says. And in the 12th chapter, Tesham Aham Samuddartham Mrityu Samsara Sagarat. I will lift them out of samsara. So we find everywhere the divine grace is emphasized in the Madhyama Shatka. From this, what do we really conclude? Both are equally important. God helps those who help themselves. Therefore, Purushartha and Devam are like two wings of a bird or two sides of a coin. If a person goes by one of them, he has misunderstood Gita. Some people will emphasize the Purushartha's. I can achieve everything. I can do everything. However much effort they put, unless there is the support of the Devam factor, nothing will work. I can till the land, sow the seed, but rain, Lord alone has to bring. Thus, there are umpteen natural forces. Unless the totality supports us, the individual cannot do anything. For the man who overemphasizes on effort, he will get knocked down when failure comes. A few successes makes him even arrogant. Bhagavan gives him one knock, then he will understand everything. There are the arrogant variety who overemphasize on prayatnam, one's own effort. And there is the another variety, that person, he does not do anything in the name of Saranagati. One has to fall at the feet of the Lord and never gets up. Maybe even sleep right there. This is the fatalistic philosophy. Everything is already written in my forehead. So, Lalata Likita Lekam Parimartum Na Sakyate. And there is actually a sloka also for this. So, if it is written on the head, no one can change it. That means what? Moksham also must be written on my forehead. So, this fellow refuses to study scriptures, to get Viveka, to individually progress, putting the responsibility on the Lord all the time. Which is also not true at all, because you are only depending on the Madhyama Shatka. He won't read the first Shatka at all. This person, he finds it very convenient to skip it. He will only quote Yoga Kshemam Vahamyaham. He will never read Uddaretem Atman Atmanam. He will never read. Whereas we should read both of them. I do the best and leave the rest to the Lord. That should be the philosophy. So Madhyama Shatka emphasizes Ishwar Anugraha or Daivam factor or grace. Then comes the last Shatka, the Charma Shatka, where the values of life, ethics, morality, character, it's all discussed, very, very important things. As a preparation for Vedanta, a man of vices can never become wise. And so he emphasizes in the 13th chapter, a big list he gives. Amanitvam, Adambitvam, drop arrogance, Ahimsa, Kshantihi, Arjavam, never injure anyone, all those very, very good qualities. You have patience always, never get irritated. Avoid Kamakrodadis, Sarvabhuta Hiterataha, love all people. Thus, we find lot of values emphasized in the third Shatka. And the 16th chapter is a chapter of values alone again, which is divided as Daivi Sampath and Asuri Sampath. The noble ones, Daivi Sampath, virtues, are all called Daivi Sampath, which makes a person a god on earth. And Asuri Sampath, which makes a person maybe a devil or a demon on earth. Thus, the whole 16th and 17th chapters are dedicated to values. And in other chapters also, values are mentioned. And of course, the 18th chapter happens to be the summary of the entire Bhagavad Gita. As we mentioned earlier during the second chapter is the summary of the entire Gita. 18th chapter also is the summary where all topics are to be found. And there also values are talked about. So at the discipline level, effort is emphasized. Ishwara Kripa is emphasized. The grace and the values are also emphasized. So the Prathama Shatka deals with Jiva Swarupa, Karma Yoga and Prayatnam or effort. The Madhyama Shatka, it emphasizes Ishwara Swarupa, both Sopadika and Nirupadika Ishwara, then meditation on Shaguna Ishwara and the grace of the Lord. And the third section emphasizes Jiva Ishwara Aikyam and Jnana Yoga and values, various values. But we should remember that we are talking about emphasis. It is not an airtight compartment, not that they talked about only these topics in those sections. There may be some more topics also here and there mentioned, but predominantly this is the approach, this is the flow of topics from the first chapter through the 18th chapter. Actually, Adi Shankaracharya, he does not divide Gita in this manner at all. This division is made by later Acharyas. Shankaracharya, he does not divide in this manner. The idea is what? It's not an airtight compartment. We can find values in other chapters also. Similarly, we can find Karma Yoga in later places also. Predominantly, we can find this pattern. Now, actually, we are entering into the Prathama Shatka, from the Prathama Shatka into the Dvitiya Shatka, the 7th chapter onwards, and we will start with the verses actually of the 7th chapter from now on. Madhyama Shatkam is the second part of the Gita that begins, and we saw in the last webinar, the emphasis is going to be more on, in the introduction, the emphasis is going to be more on Ishvara, otherwise technically called Tatpada of the Mahavakyam. Tatvamasi, Tatpada, the word Tat refers to Ishvara Swarupam here. So the Upasana and the grace of the Lord, they are, and in gaining that knowledge, they are all going to be discussed. And as we said earlier, even though the grace will be emphasized hereafter, it does not mean it is a replacement for free will. Free will is most important. One has to exercise it properly. It only means in addition to free will, anugraha, grace is important. We have been doing certain physical and intellectual. We have been given certain physical powers and intellectual powers. Free will is an intellectual power. And it is our responsibility to make the maximum use of our powers. Whether it is the intellectual power or physical power, it is our responsibility to make the maximum out of them. But unfortunately, even the maximum use of powers is only a limited amount. And so we require the grace of Lord in addition to free will. So whatever we think is the maximum, even that is only limited amount compared to the total cosmic makeup. And we need the grace of the Ishvara in addition to our own free will. So the surrender, when people talk about Sharanagati, so when we read hereafter, when Bhagavan says that you surrender unto me, I will take care of everything. Lord is going to tell, surrender unto me, I will take care of everything. There the words surrender or Sharanagati should be understood properly. It should be understood as doing our best and leaving the rest to the grace of the Lord. It is not surrendering, I'll just fall at your feet and keep quiet so that you will take care of everything. No. Surrender means I will do my best and I will leave the rest to you. So surrender involves doing the best on my part. And all these the Lord indicates actually in the very first shloka itself of the 7th chapter. So how the topics are going to be changed, that we can see. So now we can go to the actual verses of 7th chapter. Atha saptamodhyayaha jnana vijnana yogaha Shri Bhagavanu vacham Maya saktamana partha Yogam yunjanmadashrayaha Asam shayam samagrammam Yatajnasesita shruno. So even though Arjuna did not ask any question here to start with, Krishna himself introduced this topic in the very first shloka. Arjuna normally he asks a question and then Krishna in the form of answering, he elaborates. But now Arjuna did not ask any question. Krishna, he himself chose the topic and started to discuss. So the first three shlokas, they are like the introduction of the 7th chapter. And in this shloka, Krishna introduces the subject matter. What is the subject matter that is given in the second line? Yata mam nyasyasi tachruno. Arjuna, may you listen well as how one can know myself, the Lord, clearly. Yata mam nyasyasi. Mam refers to Ishwaram. Mam Ishwaram Nyasyasi. Because it is Krishna talking, and we know Krishna is avatar of the Lord, the Ishwara. So often in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna uses the word I,
in the sense of Ishvara. Wherever Krishna says I, it means Ishvara. In fact, you know, throughout or often in the middle section, Madhyama Shatkam, Krishna will use the word I for Ishvara, the cosmic Lord. And so, Yatha Mam Nyasyasi, how a person can know me, the Ishvara Tattvam, the principle behind Ishvara. How a person can know the Tat Padam clearly in Tattvamasi, how to know the Tat Padam. Then I am going to talk about here, hereafter, may you listen to that. I'm going to discuss about that aspect. May you listen, Tat Shruno. Because till now, up to the sixth chapter, I have been talking more about what? More about your nature, your body. Your body alone is perishable. Yourself or true nature is not perishable. I have been talking about all these things up till now. So I have been talking about from your standpoint, more from the Vyashti standpoint. These terms are also, we should be familiar. Vyashti, the individual, and Samashti, the total. So we have been talking about from the Vyashti standpoint so far. Now I am going to talk about from the standpoint of Samashti, the total. And the knowledge of Ishvara also has got two forms. What is the Ishvara with a particular form? We call it Sopadika Ishvara. Ishvara endowed with a particular form, name, attributes, karma, all that thing. And the second one is Ishvara in the Nirupadika form, free from all attributes, names, forms, karmas. So one is because of the Upadhi, the equipment or the medium. Ishvara gets name, form and attributes because of the medium. And when the equipments, the total equipments, all of them are removed, then the Ishvara becomes the Nirupadika Swarupam without any attributes. Who is Nirgunam Chaitanyam and who is without any attributes, he is the Parabrahman. And so we should remember even the omnipotence of the Lord, the omniscience of the Lord, they all do not really belong to the Lord at all. Because omnipotence also is only a guna, is an attribute. Omniscience also is a guna, an attribute. So Ishvara, in his original nature, has the Shuddha Chaitanyam. Without any attributes, that Ishvara does not even have, is not even omnipotent or omniscient. That is when the Chaitanyam is associated with individual intellect. That Chaitanyam appears to have limited knowledge. When Chaitanyam is associated with an individual jiva, then that Chaitanyam appears as having a limited knowledge. And when the same Chaitanyam is associated with the total intellect, the Ishvara, then it appears to have total knowledge. So Chaitanyam does not have any particular knowledge itself. With limited intellect, it becomes jiva with limited knowledge. With total intellect, it becomes Ishvara with total knowledge. But for both limited and total knowledge, intellect is necessary. And remove the limited intellect from Jiva, he becomes Shuddha Chaitanyam. And when we remove the limited total intellect from Ishvara, then Ishvara becomes Shuddha Chaitanyam again. So both of them are free of all attributes. So Alpajnatvam of the Jiva is gone. The Sarvajnatvam of the Ishvara is gone. And so even the noble attributes are not the real attributes of Ishvara, because Ishvara's real attribute is no attribute. So at that level, the Jiva and Ishvara, they become one. So the understanding of Ishvara involves two types of understanding again. Ishvara in his original nature as Ashabdam, Asparsham, Arupam, Arasam, Agandham. No sound, no touch, no form, no taste, and no smell. That is the Ishvara in absolute nature. He is only Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam. Ishvara is the original nature, Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam. This is from the Paramarthika Drishti, from the angle of absolute standpoint. And the very same Ishvara, when associated with Upadhis, with various medium instruments, Sopadika, he becomes, when we come to the Vivaharika level, the relative level, at that level, the very same Lord, the very same Ishvara appears to be with noble values, as the ruler of the universe, as the omnipotent one. So the Lord, without any attributes, at the Nirupadika level, appears to have all these qualities at the Sopadika level. So Ishvara also, from Nirupadika and Sopadika standpoint, have to be talked about. So Nirguna and Saguna, Nirvisesha and Savisesha standpoint, all those things are talked about. And as was pointed out earlier, the Jiva and Ishvara, from Nirupadika standpoint, are identical, one and the same, Jiva Ishvara Aikyam. But the moment Upadhi comes, medium comes, instrument comes, the Ishvara becomes creator and the Jiva becomes the creature or the created. Remove the Upadhi, neither creator nor created, neither ruler nor ruled, neither protected nor protected. So then what is there? There is only one absolute, which is neither called Jiva, which is not called Ishvara, but Shuddham Brahma. That alone is there. Ekam eva advitiyam Brahma. That alone is there. So if you analyze Jiva, you come to Shuddha Chaitanyam alone. If you analyze Ishvara, again you come to Shuddha Chaitanyam only. So we have to know Ishvara from two angles: Vyavaharika angle, the relative angle, and the Paramarthika angle, the absolute angle. So Tatpada Vachyartham and Tatpada Lakshyartham. The literal meaning Vachyartham and Lakshyartham, the implied meaning. So Yata Nyasyasi, that is why Krishna adds here, Samagram Mam Nyasyasi. It is not enough that you know me as Rama or Krishna. They are all my relative or Sopadika roles as a particular deity. But if you have to know me thoroughly, you should know the Nirgunam Brahman nature of me. And so Krishna says, Samagram Mam Nyasyasi. How you should know me completely. Completely means Saguna Rupena, Nirguna Rupena cha. Sopadika Rupena, Nirupadika Rupena cha. You should know in all angles completely. Vyavaharika Drishtya, Paramarthika Drishtya. And Tatpada Vachyartha Rupena, Tatpada Lakshyartha Rupena. You should know from all angles. These are all actually different languages. The idea is same. Even though we give so many different names, idea is same only. So Ishvara in Saguna and Nirguna form. And the Puranas actually, in the Karma, and also in the Karmakanda of the Vedas, the first part of the Vedas, we will get the Lord as Sagunam, Saguna Ishvara, Ishvara with lot of attributes. They will describe the Lord as what? Shankha Chakra Gadadhari. You know, Vishnu is always given like that, Vishnu Puranas. And or Jadadhari, Jatadhari for Shiva, always Purana says. If it is Devi Purana, then that is Keshadipada Varnana of the Devi. From, you know, head to foot, they normally describe the Devi. So they talk as though that is absolute. Even though the description is on the Sopadika Ishvara, they talk as if it is absolute. It is because in the beginning stage, we can only conceive Saguna Ishvara only. It is very difficult for the mind to conceive a Nirguna Ishvara. So Purana generally stop with Saguna. Stop with the Saguna form only. So even in the Karmakanda portion of the Vedas, the Lord is seen only with attributes alone. So Puranas, Karmakanda portion of Vedas, they give Saguna Ishvara Jnanam. Ishvara with attributes. But Vedanta, the Upanishads, they give the Nirguna Ishvara Jnanam. That is why Saguna Ishvara Vadis, you know, people who talk in favor of Saguna Ishvara, they don't like Upanishads at all very much. Because what is this Upanishad? It is Ashabdam, Asparsham, Arupam, Agandham. No interest at all, very boring. Because their mind is used to the beautiful form of the Lord, that it is extremely difficult for them to imagine the Lord without any of these attributes. They even get scared to imagine. In fact, actually many philosophies, they don't even accept the Nirguna form of the Lord. That way they go more into the Puranas and other Bhakti Granthas than going to Upanishads and into Vedanta. Upanishads becomes very difficult for them to swallow. But Krishna says, complete knowledge, whether you like it or not, involves both of them, both the Sopadika Ishvara and the Nirupadika Ishvara. Okay, and how should you gain this knowledge? Asamshayam nyasyasi, asamshayam, doubtlessly. Because we should remember, even after knowing the Paramarthika Ishvara, the Ishvara in his original form, when we lead our regular life, we are in what level? Not in the absolute level. We are in the relative level only, Vyavaharika level. So in Vyavaharika level, that is in the relative level, we do accept the differences between the Jiva and Ishvara. And that is why when Shankaracharya actually wants to write any book, he becomes an individual writer first. At the moment he has become as an individual, then what happens? There is a Lord who can bless him. He has to seek his blessings for him to successfully write and complete that book. And therefore we can find actually he starts with a Dhyana Shloka in all his creations, all his writings. That's a prayer. And while writing, what does he write? That is very interesting. The very content of his writing is there, that there is no difference between the Lord and me. So he is writing a Dhyana Shloka, praising the glory of the Lord and praying to the Lord for him to complete that work very well. But the content of the book is to say that there is no difference between the Lord and me. So this normally creates a lot of confusion among people. If I learn Advaitam, can I worship the Lord also or not? That question many people have. If I am an Advaitin, should I have to worship the Lord at all or not? If I worship the Lord, then what about my Advaitam? If I am Advaitin, if I can claim myself to be one. So there is always a confusion between Vyavaharika Drishti and Paramarthika Drishti. So Advaitam is what? Advaitam is in the understanding level. That absolutely speaking, there is no difference between me and the Lord. That is at the understanding level. And that is the truth. So when we come to the Vyavaharika plane, the relative plane, we come to the relative reality. Once the relative reality comes, then I am an individual. I am a male. I am a female. Father, son, guru, officer, shishya, whatever it is. So all these relationships will have its own reality. So for example, if the hunger got its reality, at the same time food also has its reality too. So they all have the relative reality, understand? But it cannot be taken at the absolute level at all. They are all maya. They are all maya. So at the mithya level, we do accept these seeming differences. The Vedantin accepts these seeming differences at the Vyavaharika plane, at the mithya level, at the maya plane. Just as normally, you know, for example, a scientist, he understands the difference between copper and gold in the Vyavaharika Drishti, in the practical angle. But he will not exchange, but in the science, what he really knows, they all are made up of electrons and protons and all those particles only. Copper and gold both have got the fundamental, you know, building blocks of electrons and protons and all that only. But this person will not exchange silver for gold or copper, though all of them are only matter and energy in interconvertible. So that does not mean that he will get confused between copper and gold, even though he knows fundamentally they are all made up of electrons and protons and matter only. He will not exchange, he will not take gold, copper for gold. That is why we always say, Bhavadvaitam sada kuryat, Kridayadvaitam nakarhichite. Advaitam is an understanding, and Vyavaharika Dvaitam is there all the time. Practical world is Dvaitam, whereas at the absolute plane only we have Advaitam. That is why Advaitam is called Paramarthika Satyam, and Dvaitam is called Vyavaharika Satyam. So this is the difference between these two should be understood. And so Krishna says, asamshayam, doubtlessly, without any doubt in this, one should understand. You should understand me without any doubt. In my original nature, as well as in my vesham, in my relative nature. Tachruno, so may you listen to that. So that is the topic I am going to discuss. So Krishna is now introducing the topic that he is going to discuss here. What is the topic? How to know Ishvara doubtlessly and completely. So that is going to be the topic of discussion from now on. How to know the Ishvara completely and doubtlessly. So in the first line, actually, he emphasizes the sadhanas. So the topic is introduced what? Ishvara Tattvam. The principle behind Ishvara. At the sadhana level, what is to be done? Mayi asakta manaha. Mayi asakta manaha means, if you have to know me, what is the condition? One should be with his mind totally dedicated to the Lord. Should be totally dedicated to the Lord, committed to the Lord, or fixing the mind upon the Lord. All same, whatever you want to say it. So that means if you have to know the Ishvara Swarupam, your goal of life must be only Ishvara, not anything else. Because we should remember, the worship of Ishvara also can be of two types. Worship of the Lord for getting some benefit. We always go to the temple. We do so much, all these pujas, homas, abhishekams. We do sankalpa. And we list so many items. I want this, I want that, I want this for myself, for my children, for all. We go on listing so many things. We ask for money, we ask for job, so many things. So I ought to remove all the ills. So here the goal is what? Goal is a materialistic goal. And I worship Ishvara, who is used as a means to achieve my end, namely the benefit. So I want to do this puja for gaining such and such a thing. So that is my goal, for which I use the Lord as a means, because the Lord can provide that to me. I believe in that, so I use the Lord as a means. So I have got devotion to the Lord, all right, but the devotion is because of my what? Because of my devotion to the benefit. What I am going to ultimately get out of this puja, my devotion to that is more. And the God can facilitate that, so I worship Him. That is the attitude. So when I want my child to be saved, I am ready to do anything to the Lord to save that child. But remember, my love to the Lord is because of my love to my child. So it is a divided love. There is no total dedication at all. There is no total love at all to the Lord. So divided between my goal may be a promotion, wealth, whatever it is, and the Lord, who happens to be the means. Not only that, if you really analyze even further, it is even worse. Now, my love is divided between the means and the end. Now, tell me, between the means and the end, which we love more? Between the means and the end, what do we love more? We love more the end alone. The goal alone we love the more. Because we take the means not because of our love for the means, but because of our love for the end. What I'm going to ultimately achieve. So love for the end is unconditional. And love for the means is conditional in this case. So between means and the end is loved more, the means is loved less. Because love for the end is unconditional. For the means is conditional. Okay, how do you know the love for the means is conditional? Very simple. The moment you reach the end, what do? The means is happily renounced. The moment we reach the destination, whether it is Bombay or Madras or Calcutta, whatever place it is, all your love for the plane, the means, everything, they are all just renounced. Nobody even thinks about it. We don't even remember that we came by such and such an aircraft. Even in family, this happens. Once the children grew up, they forgot the parents because of whom they came into existence and because of whom they even, came up to this level. They just forget, because that is the general psychology. Everyone loves the end alone and not the means. And so when I worship the Lord for the sake of wealth, then Lord becomes a means. So wealth becomes an end. So my love is divided between the Lord and the wealth now. So that too, higher percentage is to the wealth only. Maybe 60% to the wealth and 40% to the Lord, because He gives me wealth. Swamiji, actually, he tells here, there is something, there is some saying in Malayalam. பாலம் கடகோலம் நாராயணகா, பாலம் கடன்னாய் கடன்னாய் பூராயணகா. ஸோ டில் எ பர்சன் கிராசஸ் த பிரிட்ஜ் ஹீ சேஸ் நாராயணா நாராயணா, பிகாஸ் ஹி ஹேஸ் டு கிராஸ் த பிரிட்ஜ். த மூமெண்ட் ஹீ கிராசஸ் த பிரிட்ஜ், நோ லவ் ஃபார் நாராயணா அட் ஆல் எனி மோர், ஹி ஈவன் ஃபர்கெட்ஸ் நாராயணா. சிமிலர்லி சில்ட்ரன் ஹவ் சடன் லவ் பிஃபோர் த எக்ஸாமினேஷன், பிஃபோர் தே கோ டு எ டெஸ்ட் ஆர் எக்ஸாம், தே ஆல் ஹவ் சடன் லவ் ஃபார் லார்ட் டில் த எக்ஸாம் இஸ் ஓவர். So here, if you have really know the Ishvara Tattvam, Ishvara should not be loved as a means, but Ishvara should be loved as the end. Ishvara to be loved as the end in itself. Money should become means. Everything else should become means. In fact, all our ashramas, Brahmachari Ashrama, Grahastha Ashrama, Vanasprastha Ashrama, even Sannyasa Ashrama, they all should become only means. So that is called Mayi Asaktihi, dedication, commitment. The same as the Tivra Mumukshutvam of Vedanta. Tivra Mumukshutvam, the craving that nothing else other than moksha is my goal. And remember again, people generally say that bhakti is easy. This is all some diversion in our topic of discussion. I just only spend some time here because it helps us to reorient ourselves even in our own attitude towards bhakti. The people normally say bhakti is easy. Bhakti as they understand is easy. Bhakti as people understand generally, that is easy. But what is really called the bhakti is the bhakti that we just said. The bhakti where the Lord is the end in itself. That is bhakti. So everyone talks about bhakti, they talk of bhakti as a means only. So we will find most of the bhaktas are making use of the Lord, either the artha bhaktas or artharthi bhaktas, all those people, we already saw them earlier. So if there is any difficulty, Bhagavan will be useful. I can shed any amount of tears and get some consolation from the Lord. And they say that bhakti is easy. That bhakti is easy though, but that is not the bhakti that is talked about here. That is what Ramakrishna Paramahamsa actually also asked. People cry for wealth and children. Bhagavan asked, it seems, how many people cry for me? Cry in front of me, they do. For the sake of children, for the sake of wealth, they do. You should cry in front of me, for me. And that is called bhakti. So, but that bhakti is as difficult as sadhana, chatushtaya, sampatti. In the Tattva Bodha language, to get Viveka, Vairagya, Vairagyam, Shamadhi Shatka Sampatti, Mumukshutvam. So that is called Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti. It is as difficult as gaining that. Because that bhakti involves tremendous Vairagyam, this passion. And that is talked here as Ashaktihi in this sloka. Ashaktihi. So as much attachment I have for all other things, they all should be given up. And so much attachment should be given to the Lord. Therefore, this bhakti presupposes vairagya. Unless a person has got that much of vairagya, he cannot exercise this kind of bhakti. And that too, the mandha madhyama adhikaris, very, very difficult for those people at all. So, which alone actually Saint Tyagaraja, he called, you know, Nidhisala Sukama, that is the song. You know, when the king offered so much of wealth and money and everything and asked him, why can't you compose a song for me, about me? If Tyagaraja had done it, perhaps he would have got much wealth and no poverty and all. So he would be very free. But if it is us, we would have told, why one song? I could have composed one book for you. That's what people might say. But Tyagaraja said, in spite of his poverty, his wife scolding me, all that thing, as usual, he said, how can I sing the glory of a human being after singing the glory of the Lord? So Ganga Snanamu Sukama, after taking bath in Ganga, how one will settle for a snanam in some other thing, in a well or some other waters? That is the amount of bhakti which renounces all attachment to all other things. That is pointed out here as Mayi Asakta Manaha. Mayi Asakta Manaha. Now, will this bhakti itself, which is the intense desire to know the Lord, called bhakti here or mumukshutvam, whatever it is, would that intense desire itself give me moksha? That is another question we should understand, because mayasakta manaha refers to the surrender to the Lord, the grace of the Lord. But will that itself help me? Surrendering to the Lord and seeking the grace alone, will it help me? Will the Lord himself will give me the knowledge, atma jnana, will he give me? No. Bhagavan says, yogam yunjan. Yogam yunjan, practicing the yoga. Vedanta shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. Practice all of them. Bhakti cannot replace Vedanta. Vedanta shravanasandal cannot be replaced by bhakti. Bhakti gives a conducive atmosphere for Vedanta. Vedanta shravanam, bhakti gives a conducive atmosphere only. I can do it sincerely if I can have the intense desire to know the Lord. That is most important. So one should be practicing yoga. Practicing yoga is nothing but what? Vedanta shravanadi. Vedanta shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. That is yoga here. Okay. When a person practices Vedanta shravanam, he also faces a lot of problems, because generally the sadhana chatushtaya sampatti is the most difficult thing for anybody to gain. So that alone will make a person adhikari eligible to follow the path of jnana. But very difficult. So Vedanta shravanam and even understanding it is not as difficult. With little buddhi, we can easily differentiate atma and anatma. It is easily possible. But the greatest problem is the sadhana. Sadhana chatushtaya sampatti is the problem. Aham brahma asmi, people can directly relate to it mostly. But to be that requires sadhana chatushtaya sampatti. Viveka is needed, vairagya is needed, mind control, sense control, forbearance, all those things are needed. And also the craving, desire for getting moksha is needed. All those things are very difficult to get, to practice and live. So how much vairagya I have, how much sense control, mind control, uparama, atidiksha, all that I have, all those questions. So not getting irritated, not getting angry, not being reactive, not being impatient. All those things are very, very difficult to practice. And when there is a difficulty, a sadhaka always faces diffidence. When there is a difficulty, always faces diffidence. Then only the question will come, like that of Arjuna. What will happen to a yoga brashta? I do this jnana yoga, I don't succeed. If I die, what will happen? I don't have even punya to give me a better life. I don't have jnana to get moksha. So what will become of me? So suppose I don't get liberation, moksha. This suppose, when does it come? When I get diffident. So, and when the diffident comes, then we suddenly react. At that time, we remember God. We remember the Lord. I am not able to get over this reaction. Suddenly we feel that we are unqualified for Vedanta Jnanam. All these things are obstacles. They will all come by in our way. And when this diffident comes, what should one do? Madashrayaha, the Lord says. Madashrayaha, last word in the first line of this particular shloka. Take refuge in me. Madashrayaha. Call sharanagati, surrender. Surrender unto me when you are confronted with such a situation. Because in our journey, when you are tired, when you are doubtful of reaching the destination, you always need a moral support. It is just only another 200 yards, somebody might say. You have come this far, another 200 yards, another 50 yards only. You know, right around the corner, the destination is there. When people give such kind of morally encouraging words, we feel again confident and keep continuing with our journey. So you go to Mount Kailas. Actually, I had the blessed opportunity to do it once. They normally, the Sherpas who come with us, he will say, the moment you make that bend, we should be able to see the destination. They always tell you some such thing like that and keep you walking. So we all need a moral support. And sometimes there may be no one around also. Possibly. Or those around may discourage also more. Some people may say, you should not have come for this at all. You are old, or you are this, you are that. This is very, very difficult. My uncle went long ago, and you know what happened to him? They say all these kinds of stories to discourage you also. That day itself, I told you not to go to Vedanta classes. Already we are not interested. At that time, the only support is to whom? support is only from the Lord, Ishvara himself. That is why he says, Madashrayaha. When there is the support of the Lord, then why should I fail? That confidence should be there. When Lord is himself willing to support me, why should I fail? So, Name Bhaktaha Pranashyati. The Lord gives the assurance. The later Lord is going to say, he will give a promise, my devotee will never perish. I will make sure that he never perishes. So he may be on the verge of collapse, but sheer devotion gives him the inner strength. The Lord himself will point out that sheer devotion will give him the inner strength. He will get over all his fatigue, all his tiredness. He will go forward and attain the goal. So Madashrayaha. This is moral support and courage. So taking refuge in me, how you can know the true nature of the Lord is the topic, and that I am going to actually deal with now. So bhakti I am going to talk about. That's what the Lord says. Surrender, mayasakta manaha, refers to the intense devotion. Surrender unto me with intense devotion. Devotion to Lord for Lord's sake, not for material sake. This is called nishkama bhakti. So as we have in karma yoga, nishkama karma, here we have love for devotion. So devotion sake alone. And madashrayaha. Madashrayaha refers to surrender or sharanagati. So he is going to emphasize this, which is going to be the grace of the Lord actually. If you surrender to me, my grace will be available. If you surrender unto me, my grace will be available. So you put the responsibility on the Lord and surrender. In prayatnam, you put the responsibility on yourself. When you put the effort, you put the responsibility on yourself. When you work, work as though there is no Lord. So that is the amount of effort one has to put when they do the work. So when you expect the result, expect as though there is no you at all other than Lord. So when you do work, you think that you are alone there to do the work. And when the result comes, you act as if there is no you other than the Lord alone is the only person who has to help you out. This is the attitude one should take. So madashrayaha, the surrender or sharanagati. Asamsayam samagram mam nyasyasi. You come to know me totally and doubtlessly. So that is what Krishna says in this particular shloka. So we will now go through the rest of the shlokas, two more shlokas, which will address the introduction to this topic, to the seventh chapter that we will see in the next webinar. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitah tasya prakriti linasya yaparasa maheshwarah. Shri Krishna arpanamastu.